You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
The government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, you know, you know it has to get done. You know it has to get done. Get it done. Stop that procrastination. Stop putting it off. Get it done. Be on time. I love it. I love it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 8 to 10 Mountain Time, and, of course, 8 to 10 Pacific Time, 9 to 11 Mountain Time. Yeah, trying to get it together. Okay, let me start all over, okay? This time, Eastern Time is 11 to 1. Central Time is 10 to 12. 9 to 11 Mountain Time and 8 to 10 Pacific Time. Don't want to confuse you. I always want to present the information correctly. I don't want to confuse you, that's for sure. I ain't here for that. And I know you ain't listening for that either. So, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday and Wednesday at 11 a.m. Other program we have here on this radio program. This program is, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Tomorrow, Thursday, from 7 to 8, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Mississippi on the Move from 7 to 8. On Friday at 8 p.m. on Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. That's right. I know I get a little upset about WeBuyBlack.com. Not with them, family, with us. Because WeBuyBlack.com here in Atlanta area have desperately tried to open up a supermarket for us with all the African Americans that are here and the prospects and all the ideas and all the things said. We don't have a supermarket. There are other things we lack too, but I'm just saying that because we don't have a service station, convenience store. We don't have that. We don't have that in the city of Atlanta. We don't have it. We don't have a supermarket in the counties. Correct me if I'm wrong. Rescue me if I'm wrong. So
That's why I, you know, am adamant about that. Yeah. All right. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba, who has been on this program numerous times, talking about getting our people to go on a trip of a lifetime, to getting our people to go to Africa to see for themselves the beauty of Africa. His next trip upcoming is March 29th to April 9th, going to Liberia and Morocco. July 11th to July 23rd to Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azinia. April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. These are the trips that you put a down payment on. You can hold it. The fares are reasonable still at this time. Anywhere between 4,000 and, let me see, what is the highest? I think the highest is still 4,400. I believe it is highest is 4,400. 45 to Kemet. 45. Ah. Zinya, 48. 4,800. So between 4,000 and 4,800. Yeah. What's for 4,000? Nah, 4,200. 4,000, Brazil. So you can lock yourself in there, even though that's in 2025, November, December of 2025 of next year. You can lock it in. And the beautiful country of Brazil, obviously one of the main places you're going to have opportunity to go to is Salvador Bahia. Salvador Bahia, family. Yes, of course, you'll fly into Rio, and maybe, I don't know if you go to São Paulo or not. I don't know, which is the capital. But I know you're going to go to Salvador Bahia, because that is where brothers and sisters still have a lot of tradition, African traditions. So, Africa for the Africans, brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. That's right. Habesha. All right, that's what it is. That's what's happening Saturday. I'm going to go to Sister Jackie's house at noon, and then go to Brother Kenneth Zaki, because I get a chance to see him, give him some love. And, of course, the brothers and sisters at Habesha, who are having their program at the Art Exchange, where Brother Kenneth Zaki is, in the evening. So that works out fine. That works out fine. Habesha Incorporated, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'll be gone pretty much all day on Saturday. That's cool. Even if my grandson Zion's got a game, I ain't going. I got to do, you know what I'm saying? I got to do some stuff for me and reconnect with my family and the community too, you know? Because my grandson knows I love him. He better. All right. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. You know, of course, the LEDGE Group deals in the four areas of human necessity, of human existence. Without it, we don't live, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries on the continent with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, you too can become a member of the LEDGE Group. And last I heard, still, they have the opportunity, if you are a member of the LEDGE Group, to buy land at $250 an acre in Tanzania. Hey, you might have land that overlooks the Serengeti, that might be near the falls. I don't say Victoria.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
I just say the Falls. I don't say Victoria. Just say the Falls. You know. So, the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. abibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to abibiatumi.com. Sign up for abibiatumi.com. Sign up for it. Abibiatumi is dedicated to the complete and total liberation of African people and the modern Kemet land, Kemet Nu of African people throughout the African world, from under domination by Eurasians and their anti-African, anti-Black collaborators. As such, Abibiatumi seeks to reclaim and or create systems and tools designed by African people for the benefit of African people in the interest and complete and total African liberation, self-preservation, and self-determination, and sovereignty, survival in each and every area of human activity. Abibiatumi.com. Abibiatumi. Abibiatumi.com. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Brothers and sisters, he is a health expert. The Minister of Wellness. Go to theministerofwellness.com. He has a lot. I don't have a phone number on here. I do have a phone number. Let me see if it's okay if I give it out. I believe that it is. So the Minister of Wellness and the products that he has. And, of course, Smile Pharmacy, Brother Jabril, and the products that he has. Pretty much the same. Give them both a call or check them out online. For Brother Jabril, the phone number is 770-765-7751, 770-765-7751. You can contact him through email at smypharmacy@gmail.com. SMAIFARMACY, at smypharmacy@gmail.com. Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation family, water is free. Water is essential. From a humanitarian standpoint, water should be free. It's a necessity. It should never be commodified. It should never be something about, yes, I know you pay a water bill so they can get the water to your home through whatever means, and to clean the water and then open the tap and pick out water, and that's a good thing. So that's what you pay for. You know, but the bottom line is you got to get water. We don't live. Human beings don't live without water. So go to the MosesWestFoundation.org. MosesWestFoundation.org. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located here in the West End in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy. Across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Sister Wadada's, beautiful sister. They have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and all kind of health stuff, you know. And on Saturday and Sunday, they serve vegan dishes at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. You know, bookstores are very few. Many have closed down. Some cities where there's a number of us don't even have a bookstore. That's, to me, is ridiculous, but that's the fact. You know, but Mama Nee is hanging on in there at the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and gift certificates, and so much more. Give her a call. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. Take I-20 east to Augusta. Take exit 74. Get off on exit 74. Make a left. Now you're going north for about a mile. On the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, where Brother Kazimde Ajamu is doing his thing. Brothers and sisters, give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride. Head back the opposite direction. Now you're going south. Make a left again onto I-20 East. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights. Go three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us lifting us. Tomorrow night is their Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, where you can listen to the program. Or you can call and listen and ask questions or comments or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Brother B just got it going on. He has all kinds of beauty products, health products, oils and incense, CDs, DVDs, literature, books, jewelry, furniture, fashions. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise, man, I'm telling you. A place where you can have conferences, all kinds of stuff. The Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. All right. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall. Sister Shelly's got some new, I got a Dr. Khaled Muhammad hoodie. Love it. Yeah, Sister Shelly and Brother Kenwardo. Love them. Beautiful couple, beautiful people. So give her a call at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Because she has the one with now El Cabalon. And of course, the Sun Goddess Sense logo on it. Yeah. Good people. Sanjay-Aiti.org. Sister Gabriella Aurelia has been doing great work with our young people in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Now, you know, it's very tough in Haiti, especially in the cities areas. It's very dangerous. But these brothers and sisters are doing the work with our young people, educating them, the education, health care, entrepreneurship, sustainability, agricultural sustainability. Sanjay, SONJAYITI.org. SONJAYITI.org. Yeah. Okay. Man, we're coming along, family. Rites passage, the fundamental. Excuse me. I may be doing that from time to time, so please excuse me because I'm trying to get over something that tried to jump on me a few days ago. And I'm kicking his. That's right. My kids. That's right. This Saturday, from noon to 2 p.m., Baba Baruti, Rites Passage. Okay. And let me see if I can get this a little bit better. Yeah. There you go, Brother Oshi. Warriors, $12. Warriors in Training, $6. These are for men. These are the men's gathering. Yeah. You know, the 7 quarterly, men's quarterly, online lecture piece, Rights Fundamental. And let's see what the next one is. Yeah. Okay. Register for the men's 7 and a quarterly. The gathering will be live streamed only. And to make your donation, either through PayPal, YahBaruti at yahoo.com, or Cash App, $Yah, the letter M, Baruti. Include your pertinent information, Rights Fundamental, your name, and your email address so we can send you the stream. And that same day is Mama Baruti, Mama Nia, and her topic is Strong Black Women, Blessing or Curse. Yeah, that needs to be discussed this Saturday from 4 to 6, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Same donation of $12 for adults and $6 for teens. Yeah, that definitely needs to be discussed. And the same process, make your donation and send it to PayPal, yahbrudy@yahoo.com, or Cash App, $Yah, the letter M, Baruti. Okay, include the pertinent information. Strong Black Women, your name, your email address so they can send you the stream. Yes. Okay. He has a new book out, Rights Fundamental. And, of course, you know, Baba Broody's just outstanding, man. He is. Yeah. He is outstanding. Prolific writer. And new book out. And, of course, the Sappho, they have a February 7th. They have a class. It's a course every Wednesday starting February 7th. Every Wednesday. $60 for adults, $35 for youth. The course. A Sappho, which, of course, is young warriors. And same applies, of course. You can go through PayPal, yahbrudy@yahoo.com for your adults for $60 or youth for $35. And Cash App, $Yah, the letter M, Baruti. Yep, includes the pertinent information, common sense security or Sappho, either one, your name and your email address. Yes, sir. Appreciate. Yeah, I'm coming since security. That's Saturday, March 9th. Saturday, March 9th. And, of course, save the date, family. June 1st. Saturday, June 1st. Complementarity Conference. The Complementarity Conference. And, of course, go to Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute for the books that Baba Baruti sells. Yeah, or AkabinHouse.com. Go to AkabinHouse.com and get the books. And the ones that are dealing with the course, Asafo, you know, Warriors in Training. So those books. Okay? All right, family. The Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah. We remember, family, this Friday. I'm going to say it in a number of times. This Friday, we're only going to have the opening song and reading from the Inya Sisim. Because after that, we're going to kick it live with Brother Ayo Kamathi. In his book, Jews Are the Problem. As you know, Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie, great researcher. And so I'm honored to have him on. In fact, he's the one that helped me get on Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. And I'm going to be calling him because he's going to be going to the motherland soon. I'd like to get him either to talk about it before he goes and definitely talk about it when he comes back, you know. Yeah. So, the Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. January 30th, an economy exists prior to money. There were economies in the world before money was invented. We don't even have to have money to have an economic system. So ultimately, when we study economic systems, we recognize that an economic system at its base refers to the nature of the relationship between people. It's the systematic way people choose to relate to one another that makes an economic system, not money. When we lack a systematic way of relating to each other, then we can have money and still be poor, have money and be robbed, which is what we are. Nana, Dr. Amos Wilson. What happens to the quality of life and relationships in a community when borrowed things are neither returned in worse shape than they were received or not at all? What happens to loyalty when promises in whatever form are not kept? Promises broken and kept speak to the character negatively and positively, respectfully. When the former occurs on the front line, the disappointment is so much more deeper and damaging because we are few and we claim greater responsibility to Ma'at and each other. It can cause a warrior to wonder about the purpose of their nation-building work if others' personal faults remain uncorrected. Even worse, if we judge the degree to which warriors, by the degree to which they can retaliate against us for broken promises, we are not acting in Ma'at, and it speaks to the weaknesses of our character. If we cannot keep the promise that we make to each other as we work the front lines together, then it will not be possible for us to win these large battles we waged against enemies, which will require an unqualified unity. Ashe. Affirm, I operate within the awareness that we are currency. Ashe. Affirm, I operate within the awareness that we are our currency. January 31st. The people of Kemet believed that black or dark blue black skin was a divine attribute. Danita Red. We have become petty because we remain powerless, not because we're trying to be righteous and maintain a higher standard of warriorhood. And the more powerless we feel relative to those who take advantage of our disadvantage, the more petty we become toward each other over insequential things. We have become so trifling in our search to be seen as having a semblance of power that we look to manufacture irrelevant, divisive differences among ourselves. We continue to place an enormous amount of energy into this wasteful habit because it gives the appearance that we're doing something constructive with our thwarted genius. We master the art of making a public spectacle of squabbling and backbiting, looking for any and everything to create disagreement about. Even more telling, we seem determined to drag everyone and anyone, even those who are only possibly remotely involved in the petty zoo. The petty zoo. This smallness in thinking does nothing more than move us further and further away from any form of collective empowerment, even and especially at the family community level, which is the foundation of all nation building, the family community level. More and more of us are able to see that this pettiness is simply creating more and more divisions. They see no measurable improvement in our position as a result of all this squabbling and would gladly join in the fray if they did. Thankfully, until then, they continue building beyond the argument. Yes. Yes, there are some of us who will continue to build, be serious about it, beyond all the pettiness. Affirm, the mentality of my melanin is priceless. Affirm, the mentality of my melanin is priceless. Melanin. Blue black. All right, family, let's get off into it. Like I said, Friday, we have Brother Ayo Kamathi in his book, Jews Are the Problem. We'll be discussing that. And then, of course, next week, we'll talk about various things, particularly since it's February. But I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to kick February off right today with African and American African History Month contribution to the man who started Negro History Week in 1926, Dr. Carter G. Woodson. You know, I used to work in Milwaukee Public Schools on my off days. You know, I'm not mechanical. I can't do too much. It's just, so I have to run my mouth. So I, you know, and I love us and I love our children. And so I made a decision and had the opportunity to do some work in the schools through some efforts through a program through the Urban League, I believe it was at the time. But then I made the program my own, and I was working in many schools. And of course, February was always special. You know, it was heartbreaking to some degree because I would ask the students, from the young even to the high school, why is February Black History Month, or as I called it, African and American African History Month? Why is February African and American African History Month? And, you know, some answers were pathetic, like, well, that's the shortest month. That's the month that they gave us. They don't give us nothing. You know, I don't know. Lincoln freed the slaves. Martin Luther King. All kind of food, you know. And I would say, you know, no. Oh, Mama Nabantu. Let me get Mama Nabantu in here. So I can apologize. Mama Nabantu.
Greetings,
my sister. Listen, I want to apologize to you. The information that you sent me, I couldn't open it. So I couldn't.
Oh.
Yeah. I tried because I was going to play that at this time, right after the announcements. I was going to play that, you know, that information.
The recording, you have to hold it down for about 10 or 15 seconds before it'll start.
Okay. I didn't know if I held it. I just opened it up and it wouldn't play.
Yeah, out. It won't start right away. You have to wait about.
Well,
I think it's about 10 seconds.
At the break, I'll do it, and if it happens, then we'll come back after the break and we'll play that.
Okay. All right,
Mama Nabantu. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, peace. And Mama Nabantu. Okay, Carter. You know, I told the young students, it's because of a man named Carter G. Woodson. Carter G. Woodson was born into enslavement. Well, his family was, his father was, and his mother. And they lived, he was born in West Virginia. And he couldn't go to school because he had to help work with the family. He worked in the coal mines of West Virginia. Yeah. But he always wanted to go to school. In fact, he went to a school in West Virginia. He was born in Virginia, excuse me. The son of a former slave. Woodson had to put off schooling while he worked in the coal mines of West Virginia. He graduated from Barrett College and became a teacher. You know, and even though he got a doctorate degree from Harvard, he was the second person to get a doctorate degree, an American African, to get a doctorate degree from Harvard in education. The first was the brilliant man, W.E.B. William Edward Burkhart Du Bois. So after Du Bois, Carter G. Woodson got a doctorate from Harvard. And when I used to do that, I used to say Harvard with an emphasis, not like Harvard is all that, because it ain't. But to them, to Caucasians, Harvard, Yale, the Ivy League schools, and so these men tested themselves. They bested the greatest educational institutions that Caucasians felt they had to offer, showing that even from their humble, deeply humble beginnings, I can't speak to Du Bois's, you know, because he was pretty, you know, fortunate, well off. But Carter G. Woodson was not. And so he got his Ph.D., Yeah. Love Carter G. Woodson family. I do. I love this man. See, seen a lot of pictures of Carter G. Woodson. If you've seen a picture of Carter G. Woodson having a smile, man, send it to me. I never seen this man smile. And I thought, well, maybe he had a whack looking ass smile, or he had bad teeth or something, you know? But then I realized, there ain't a damn thing to smile about. Especially when he understood what he was up against. There ain't nothing to smile about. He was serious about his work. In fact, he never married. He never had children. That's how serious he was about his work. You know? Where's that sister at? She yeah. Let me find her. She's Dorothy Porter Wesley. Dorothy Porter Wesley recalled. Yeah. She's a nice, as an older woman, she was a nice lady. She was a librarian and bibliographer who built a Moreland Svengard Research Svengard, Joel Svengard, the European Jew. Research Center at Howard into a world-class research collection. She was the first American African to receive a library science degree from Columbia University. Dorothy Louise Porter Wesley. You know, and so she recalled Woodson would wrap up his publications and take them to the post office, and have dinner at the Y. He would teasingly decline her dinner invitation, saying, "No, you are trying to marry me off, and I'm married to my work." Woodson's most cherished ambition is a 6-volume Encyclopedia Africana, which was incomplete at the time of his death. And to me, African, true African historians should complete Dr. Carter G. Woodson's work. Complete the Encyclopedia Africana. That's the same thing with Du Bois. He was doing the same thing when he died in Ghana. Well, you know, he left America finally after what he did to Marcus Garvey, which was wrong, and, you know. And so instead of Marcus Garvey never setting foot on African soil, that's deep. Du Bois is buried there. Du Bois moved to Ghana. I've been to the Du Bois Center in Ghana, in Accra, where he's buried. Yeah. So Carter G. Woodson, he was serious about educating African people. He was serious. There's a saying. Excuse me, family, okay? I'm trying to get over a little something. I appreciate you. There's a saying that in Islam, the saying says he, but I believe in the African tradition of men and women together, men and women together. They who put their foot on the path to seeking knowledge go in the way of God until they return. I'll say it again. They who put their foot on the path to seeking knowledge go in the way of God until they return. What it means, you never return. Once you put your foot on that path to seeking knowledge, God guides you. God motivates you. God inspires you. God opens doors for you. God assists you in your learning. And that's what happened with Carter G. Woodson, taking him from out of the coal mines of West Virginia at 20 years old, finishing high school in 2 years, and the other college degree he got, and at Chicago University in Illinois, in Chicago, you know, staying at the YMCA you know, until finally NDC has a principal and getting his doctorate degree in Harvard University. Once again, the second American African after Du Bois, because he put his foot on that path to seeking knowledge. He kept that foot on that path, and it took him to where he felt he needed to go. Having attained that degree, and, you know, a lot of times when people then, as well as truly now, definitely now, you know, the whole objective of you getting a doctorate or bachelor's or whatever degree that you're going to get is for you to do what? Exactly. Make money. Because in this society, it's all about money. That's why, to me, many of the athletes, if you are in college and you have an opportunity to go pro and get the money, do it. Do it. Because there is no allegiance. There is no love lost. If a coach of a team, somebody offers him more, he comes to your house to recruit you to come to that school that he's now at and says all these nice things, and then another job opening happens, he's gone. He was making $5 million, now he can make $7 million. He's gone. So, you know, so that's why, that's the real, Saban. I was about to say his daddy's name, Lou Saban. I hated Lou Saban. I didn't like Nick Saban either. Hell with Alabama. But anyway, he didn't like the portal. He didn't like name, image, and likeness. He didn't like none of that. He liked the fact that he could make tens of millions. He was making in salary about $12 million a year. And then he had all these other revenue streams, TV program, radio program, endorsements, all the stuff that the players wore, he got paid for. He liked that arrangement. Just like the cat I hate out of Clemson, Dabo Sweeney. I can't stand his ass. Same thing. They didn't want the students to get a damn dime. You got some meals. You got a place to stay at. You know, just come to practice and so forth. Man. So, yeah. Oh, man, time is running by. So let me finish giving my information on Carter G. Woodson. And then after the break, for those who want to, I'm going to read some quotes from Carter G. Woodson. And for also to do what Mama Nabantu asked about the piece. See if that works for me, you know. Yeah. So, he also worked with the NAACP. That didn't work out so well because he's radical. Carter G. Woodson was radical. You know? He started Negro History Week in 1926 in February. Why? Why February in the year 1926? And it was in the middle of the month. Why? Well, one of the reasons why I don't include in what I present, I don't include Abraham Lincoln. But a lot of people do because of the Emancipation Proclamation and stuff like that. But Abraham Lincoln said himself, if I could solidify the Union without freeing y'all, I would do so. He gave less than a rat's ass about the freedom of African people. It was about the Union, the free, the industrializing of the North against the free labor economy of the South. That's what it was about. Yes, it was about our captivity. Yes. But it wasn't about freeing us so we could be full participants in the society. Because if it was, why did we suffer so much? Why do we still suffer today all around this damn country and everywhere else where Caucasians are? Okay? Let's keep it real. So he started Negro History Week for Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass didn't know when his birthday was. His mother said, "You are my heart. You are my Valentine." So she chose February 14th to be Frederick Douglass's birthday. He admired Frederick Douglass because he was radical too. Although some argue, well, he married a white woman. Ah, so what? You know, but his kids from that sister, they fought in the Civil War. You ever see the movie Glory? The movie Glory with Denzel and Morgan Freeman? Andre Brower plays his son in the movie, which of course they all got killed trying to attack Fort Sumter in South Carolina, like a suicide mission, you know? Yeah. And so to honor Frederick Douglass, he started Negro History Week in 1926. But the whole idea to focus on the history of our people. He consistently wrote, yeah, pamphlets he wrote. I mean, he wrote in all kinds of publications. You know, he was just tremendous. Part of the Harlem Renaissance. You know, he hooked up with Marcus Garvey and wrote in the Negro World. Although him and Garvey split when Garvey was talking with the Ku Klux Klan about, you know, us going back to Africa, which, of course, I'm down with, you know. And, of course, he had some benefactors. He had some European Jews, philanthropists, Julius Rosenwald, George Foster Peabody, James H. Dillard. I go to a program every year. I've been doing it for almost 3 decades. I think it's past 3 decades. At Dillard University. Well, we first started out, we were at FAMU in Tallahassee. Then we, after 5 years, we moved to Dillard University. Dillard University is named after a Caucasian. Yeah. James H. Dillard. Yeah. Dillard had moved to New Orleans, and he was at Tulane University. He became a big philanthropist. And yeah. So, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of HCBUs that are named after Caucasians, and they were the biggest philanthropists and benefactors of some of those universities, you know. And unfortunately, many of those universities are not radical at all, you know. Whatever the Caucasians are teaching, they mirror that. A lot of times they use, you know, hand-me-down books and so forth. Yeah, I would love to see. In my idea, that the historically black colleges and universities would say, we're changing curriculum. We're moving towards an African-centered curriculum, an African-centered curriculum, which teaches Africans to do for themselves. And a lot of the issues, a lot of things, STEM and mechanical things that we, you know, learn how to do. So, because we're going to build a society. We're not having this university here so we can beg Caucasians for jobs, you know. Well, listen, let me take this break. When we come back from the break, we'll go with some quotes by Carter G. Woodson. There's some great quotes, believe me. This man was dynamic. He deserves. If you don't do nothing but give him some love this month, because a lot of times we don't talk about Carter G. Woodson. You know, we don't. So I'm going to take a break. And when we come back to the break, we'll do more. Brothers and sisters, this is African Perspectives. And we're going to take this break. You stay with us. We'll come back for more, family. Peace.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Down in a braid, brothers with their afros taking center stage, watching as this culture slowly comes of age with a mind of its own. Yeah, mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes, fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go. Neighborhoods feeding on the heart of its soul. And that's where my feelings live. Cause I love my people the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love. Straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Teachers off in the classroom giving up the love. Supported by that mom and dad who want that special touch. Little acts of kindness prove to mean so much. When we give what we know, kitchen pots are banging, smell of soul food fills the air. You walk past the neighbor's house wishing you had dinner there. Better times for living when people seem to care about that place where they grow. That's why I love my people the way they let it go. Flow. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people. I love. So from the stove straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Gather at the church on a Sunday morn. Openly they sing and praise and gospel music's born. God gave us love enough with spirits free to run. Why can't we learn to love ourselves like we're the chosen one? Come and let me know how your life is doing good. Tell me how the blessings flow through the neighborhood. Share with me that time of feelings understood in that place we call home. Cause I love my people the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Say that I'm loving. From the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Said I love my people. I love. The way they let it go on a dance floor.
stove, straight to the kitchen table. Can't nobody do it like us now. I'm loving my people. See that I'm loving mine.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's right, man. I love that. Yeah, Brother Gary. That's my opening song, and that's what I play, and as well as my blackness, which is about love. Yeah. Yeah, my good friend, Saida. And no, Ifama, my dear friend, Sister Ifama, Queen Ifama turned me on to that. And bless her, man. She's an ancestor now. Good sister. Couldn't get it. I couldn't do it, Mama Nabantu. Let me get you back here. But you did send a American African Economics Conference this Sunday, February 4th, this Sunday. Discussions and insights to African economics, supporting American African businesses, and building generational wealth. And one of the main presenters is Dr. Umar Johnson. So you sent that to me. I see that. And they got one of those things, how you register. You put your phone over the thing right there and get a chance to register. Do you know how much it costs to register, Queen, Mama Nabantu?
It's free.
It's free?
It's free. Okay. Yeah, that's a QR. They call it a QR.
QR code, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You register for a free ticket.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Check that out. Well, I'll be, like I said, out and about. I'm going to go to Sister Jackie's house on Saturday from 12. Then I'm going to the art exchange for Habashaw's program from like 4 to 6, 4 to 8, something like that, so. Yeah. Hope to see you, Mama Nabantu.
Okay. Yeah, I should be there as well.
All right.
I'll send this recording to your email.
Okay. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama Nabantu. Oh, Mama Nabantu, let's get the Pan-African Federalist Movement back on the case again. You know, Brother Sam, or, you know.
We do. We probably... Yeah. We could maybe have Brother Ante do a debriefing on what happened.
Sure, please.
At the town hall meeting.
Okay.
And what we plan to do moving forward.
Okay.
I'll give him a call.
Give Brother, because you know, I always like to share the microphone with Brother Ante, you know.
Yeah.
Good brother.
Yeah.
All right, sister. Yeah. Thank you.
We'll do that.
All right. Sante Sana.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the Bantu. Appreciate her. So that's this Saturday, this Sunday, the 4th Economic Conference. I'm not, you know, it might be something that might be your Facebook. I don't know. But, you know, in 1926, when he started Negro History Week in honor of Frederick Douglass, also at the same time in 1926, Sister, excuse me, I'm sorry, family. Trying to get over this stuff here. Get it out. Sister Drusilla Dungy Houston wrote a book called The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire in 1926. Sister Drusilla Dungy Houston. And she has a quote that I think is most profound. She says, out of anthropology, sociology, paleontology, as well as history, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that even cowardly scholarship in our race can dare not refute. So how can a leadership, this is the best part of this quote, so how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? And I maintain that the leadership that we have had, even to this present day, is utterly ignorant of our great historical past. Many of them, they still begin it in our captivity. They don't go back to Kemet. They don't go back to the beginnings. But Sister Jazila Dungy Houston, in 1926, the wonderful Ethiopians of the ancient Kushite Empire. One of Carter G. Woodson's great quotes is, if you can control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his action. When you determine what a man shall think, you do not have to concern yourself about what he will do. If you make that man feel that he is inferior, you do not have to compel him to accept an inferior status, for he will seek it himself. If you make a man think that he is justly an outcast, you do not have to order him to the back door. He will go without being told. And if there is no back door, his very nature will demand one. The conditioning. That is, I think, his greatest quote. I mean, there are so many, and so many that I really love. But when you control a man's thinking, many of our great scholars, many of our people who loved us, understood it was about the mind, about what happened to our minds. When they took the chains off our ankles and wrists, that was firmly established on our minds. So I'm saying, family, there's no doubt about it. That's where the real control is. History shows that it does not matter who is in power or what revolutionary forces take over the government. Those who have not learned to do for themselves and have to depend solely on others never obtain any more rights or privileges in the end that they had in the beginning. We must establish ourselves as an African people and not beg anybody. We cannot do it here, family. We cannot do it here. You see today all the efforts to rewrite the history. You see, that's what I'm saying to us. Damn it, y'all, wake the hell up. You see today, these folks deny our greatness. You see today, around the world, Dr. Sheikh Anshar Jop, who we owe a great debt of gratitude to, did the work. He had the smoking gun when he developed the melanin dosage test, showing and proving that the ancient Kemetic people were African, dark-skinned, melanated people, but yet these people who are living in Kemet, calling themselves Egyptian, they are Egyptians. Egyptians, just like Brother Anthony Broder said, there's a difference between Kemetic people and Egyptian people. Kemetic people are the beginning. They are the foundation. Egyptians, particularly Arabs, not the Greeks. The Greeks wanted to be us. Those people who are the Ptolemies and Cleopatra and so forth. And I know there was a lot of Egyptians who were angry as hell at whoever made that production. I did watch it with the sister playing Cleopatra, you know, because they're saying that, no, that's, and I'm not going to argue about that, okay? I ain't going to argue about that, because that's the Ptolemaic period, and that was, in fact, there had been six other Cleopatras before her ass, the seventh, you know, and of course, that reign pretty much ended with her, in her death, when Octavian came in, calling himself Augustus Caesar. So you had Julius Caesar. That's why this month is short. That's why February is short, because Julius said, hey, I'm Caesar. I do what I want. So I'm on a calendar, and I want a month named after me, July. That's why September, Sep is seven, but it's the ninth month. Oc is eight, but it's the 10th month. November is nine, but it's the 11th month. December is 10, but it's the 12th month because of the interpolation of the calendar. So you had Julius Caesar wanting a month. And so when Octavian took over and said, I'm Augustus Caesar, if he got a month, I should have a month with 31 days. He got a month with 31 days. I want a month with 31 days. It's the only part of the calendar that has 2 months back to back with 31 days. August, July, and August because of them. Yeah. Give us a call, family, at 215-490-9832. We're talking about our history. Give us a call. History shows that it does not matter who is in power or what revolutionary forces take over the government. Those who have not learned to do for themselves and have depended solely on others never obtain any more privileges in the end than they had in the beginning. For me, education means to inspire people to live more abundantly, to learn to begin with life as they find it and make it better, I say. The mere imparting of information is not education. Above all things, the effort must result in making a man think and do for himself. The mere imparting some information is not education. Above all things, the effort must result in making that man think and do for himself. Have confidence. This is a quote that I had kept with me for many years from Carter G. Woodson. If a people and culture has no history, if it has no worthwhile traditions, it becomes a negligible factor in the thought of the world and it stands in danger of being exterminated. I understood that clearly. And all around the world, they denigrate African people. I just saw that piece that somebody sent me on that rabbi talking about in this future, there'll be no African people, that we will be gone. Let me say this. I don't take that lightly. With all of the things that are at the disposal of evil people, germ warfare, psychological warfare, bombs and poisons and all kinds of stuff, I put nothing past them. That's why we must come together, close ranks, pull our resources, do for ourselves. If somebody wants something from us, we'll negotiate that, and they'll pay a fair market value price for whatever it is that they want. We already know that this technology that's in front of my face, and I'm on this microphone, if it weren't for Colton and Cobalt, we couldn't do it. We're an integral part of what happens. But yet, we stand in danger of being exterminated, and they would do it.
and they would do it. We should emphasize not Negro history, but the Negro in history. What we need is not a history of select races or nations, but the history of the world, void of national bias, race, hate, and religious prejudice. There should be no indulgence in undue eulogy of the Negro. The case of the Negro is well taken care of when it is shown that he has far influenced the development of civilization. Show the truth. Show the things that we have done. Philosophers have long conceded, however, that every man has two educations, two educators, that which he is given to him, and the other which he gives himself. Two educations, the one that's given to you when you go through these grades and so forth, when you learn these things and take these proficiencies and so forth. But what's most important is the one you give yourself. Of the two kinds, the latter is by far more desirable. Indeed, all that is most worthy in men, he must work out and conquer for himself. It is that which constitutes our real and best nourishment. What we are merely taught seldom nourishes the mind like that which we teach ourselves. The confidence, I knew nothing of all the things that I know coming out of school. I was blessed to be exposed to our history, and I fell in love with it. Oh, I dropped off. Okay, we all go up and down, but I embraced it. I love us, and I love our potential. I love what we must do. And it ain't begging for a chair at the table of white folks. The only way that we come to anybody's table is that we come there in a position of strength. We ain't coming as beggars. We're coming as everybody else who's at the table to deal with the issues that are affecting humanity. And we're coming there willing to help if we can. Not to be manipulated, not to be undermined, not to be fooled. We're coming there to help, because in essence, if we all would do that, because we're in a bad situation as humanity, and crackers have done it. We know who's done it. We know what the problem is. That's right, family. Choose out a problem. So be here Friday. Those who have no record of what their forebears have accomplished lose the inspiration which comes from the teaching of biography and history. If we don't know what our people have done, we don't know what we can do. If the Negro in the ghetto must eternally be fed by the hand that pushes him into the ghetto, he will never become strong enough to get out of the ghetto. No, you're right. You're right. They'll continue. We have a wonderful history behind us. If you're unable to demonstrate to the world that you have this record, the world will say to you, you are not worthy to enjoy the blessings of democracy or anything else. I would say to the world, exactly. Because, it is up to us. If it must be, it is up to us. Yeah. That same quote, by going to the back door, control the man's thinking. He will find his proper place. You do not need to send him to the back door. He will go without being told. In fact, if there is no back door, he will cut one for his special benefit.
his education or his miseducation. His miseducation makes it necessary. When you are going to school and Europeans and Caucasians that did everything and you did nothing. That you were running around the jungle with a rag up your ass and a bone through your nose, never having created anything of significance. And nothing could be furthest from the truth. The real servant of the people must live among them, think with them, feel for them, and die for them. Ashe. Some of us, we live way out, and sometimes we go into the community to a meeting or two or whatever, but a lot of us don't feel it, you know? Must feel the people. The same educational process which inspires and stimulates the oppressor with the thought that he is everything and has accomplished everything worthwhile depresses and crushes the same time the spark of genius in us by making him feel that his culture does not amount to much and never will measure up to the standards of other people. Once again, it is not true. And it never has been true. It never will be true. But if you don't know that, then you will accept that because that's what the society will say. As another has well said, a handicapped student by teaching him that his black face is a curse, that his struggle to change his condition is hopeless, is the worst sort of lynching. That's the mental lynching. That's the mental death. There ain't nothing you can do. You are relegated to a subservient position. Your dark skin, your hair, your lips. I don't know, you know, family. You know, but still very intricate in sports, basketball, football, whatever, sports period. And what I was in tune to this past weekend was Lamar Jackson. And what was said about Lamar, that's why I wanted him to win so badly. Because many people said, I don't want somebody who looks like Lamar Jackson to be in the Super Bowl, to be the Super Bowl champ, to be the MVP. I don't want somebody who talks like Lamar Jackson. I want somebody more articulate, more appealing, light-skinned. It was sad. Yeah. So I wanted that brother to win so bad. To shut up all those naysayers, all those ignorant ass people. And some of them are us. Some of them are us. Some of us are ashamed still to this day of how we are because of the white folks, because of Caucasians, Europeans, crackers, Urugu. Has made us feel as such. Got a few people in the queue here. If you want to ask a question, got a question or comments or concerns, you know what to do. Hit star twice, and I'll let you in. Brother Lust, Brother Ted, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, Bubba Oshie. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well.
You know, I would hope that this year, year 2024, focus in on more what I may refer to as hyphenated Afro peoples. In other words, Afro-Peruvians, Afro-Colombians, Afro-Argentinians, Afro-Russians, for example, like Alexander Pushkin. right? And others who have had that blood within their veins, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And that of African base. And I think that that's one of the things that Brother Woodson, Carter G. Woodson, was wanting to focus on as well. Look at all of the world in its entirety, right? And not just focusing on, you know, a subsection of the contiguous United States, right? Look at all of where we have all been. And so I think that hopefully those who are listening and chiming in and would focus their attention on other Afro-oriented peoples as well. So just my contribution for today.
Right on, brother. Appreciate that. Yes, sir. Most correct, brother.
Peace.
Yeah. Sister Habia, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Yeah, enjoying your program today. And Carter G. Wilson is very awesome. He's very powerful.
Yes, he is.
His work, The Miseducation of the Negro, just a book.
Yeah, 1933, he wrote that book.
he is so powerful, so insightful.
Coming up on 100 years, and what we need to look at as that approaches in 9 years now. Where are we at when he wrote that book, and where are we now? You know, what kind of progress have we made from that time that he talked about us being miseducated to present?
Yeah. Yes, miseducation, and then it's a lot of us doing some good education, some righteous education, and, you know, from his back, like Baba Baruti in their school.
Sure.
Matt's school. It's a lot. Columbo.
Columbo.
And Baba Lukesa has.
Yes.
I really would like, I'm going to try to talk to you if we could have Brother Wakesa to come on as a guest. He's doing some great educational things between here in Atlanta and Tanzania. They have a school that there, and they're teaching a lot of things about melanin, and it's very, very powerful. And, you know, they're going to take another big trip to Tanzania in August.
Oh, outstanding.
So really would like to talk about that. And, you know, we're working on the... We're riding on the shoulders of Carter G. Wilson too. He's doing some good things. Yeah. So I just want to mention that. And I was concerned about our beautiful children. You know that three of our beautiful young Africans, 23-year-old, 24-year-old from Savannah and Carlton and this other brother. You know those were the first three shot and killed.
In Yemen. Yeah.
In Jordan. You know, because first of all. What is the United States, what they doing over there in the first place?
Well, you're not.
And then our children are being shoved over there and, you know, first ones to be killed.
Well, the thing is this, though, you know, sister.
The media doesn't say that much about they were three black ones. They just trying to say.
Well, they didn't say that, but they showed their picture. They showed their picture, so you know that's who they are. They didn't need to make that.
Because
the bottom line is they were soldiers for the United States. Yeah. For the United States, so they don't have to make the reference, you know, and as soldiers of the United States. Listen to this. So as soldiers of the United States, there could be consequences. So I know when you signed up because of the possibilities of getting out after a certain time with benefits. You can go to school. You can buy a house. There's a lot of things that would benefit you. But in the interim,
they bribe you.
Huh?
Yeah, they're bribing you.
Well, I don't know about bribing you, but that's what it's offered. And
they're brainwashing our children. I want them to be like Muhammad Ali. Learn from him. He was a objective,
conscientious objector.
Conscientious objector. Mm-hmm. And our children do that. And plus, following what you saying, there's
nobody. What Sister Abia? There's nobody. You volunteered to do this. That's the point. You know, there is no draft. You volunteer to do this.
They're getting brainwashed into it. I mean, that's subjective racism. I mean, you
well, the thing is this.
This is what our children are getting confronted with. And so I'm just saying, we want to protect our children.
Sure, but the thing is, what do we have?
I mean, they're getting killed.
Sister Habia.
United States.
Sister Habia. The bottom line is this. Be all you can be in the armed services that you cannot be in the society. You don't have the monies to go to school as high as it is, but you can go to the service and get them. Now, the consequences may be that you may be sent off to a foreign land, to Jordan.
They put us on the front lines, right, yeah, to die.
That's the bottom line. Yes. Well, they started
and
to
I
do
that. And
I don't
want my children going over there to be getting killed behind this border of genocide.
Well, they started doing that back in Vietnam. Not so much Korean, because in the Korean War, that's when they first ended segregation in the armed services. Uh-huh. But in Vietnam, it was wide scale that your ass was going to be on the front lines.
First to be killed.
You know?
And you see, our three children was the first ones getting killed over there.
And it's unfortunate, but that's what you know, that's the consequences. You signing up, that's the possibility that can happen. So, you know, we hope and pray that it doesn't happen. We hope and pray that they don't have to do that. But the bottom line is America is the, let's keep it real. America is the armed services of white supremacy. America is the military arm. America is the military arm of white world supremacy. And when they're confronted with some opposition, who's ever in that service could fall victim. They're not asking, you know, because he or she is black that, you know, we ain't going to kill their ass. No, they're representing America. They're representing America, which is the military arm of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege to be maintained. And so there that is. So, I mean, we hate that that happened to those three sisters and that brother.
It's a travesty that our children got killed. And they're bombarded, you know, and that you get brainwashed by the United States into going into that militaryism. You know, they offer you whatever little trinkets they have.
Well,
and I'm 23 years old.
That's the thing. Once again,
I'm putting the blame on Yarugo, not on the children.
That's the thing. You can't access that within the society because whatever reason. So you go to the service. So once you do your service, you can access it once you're out. You can access college. You can access home loans. You can access a number of other things. Okay, health care.
Yeah, they made you go crazy in there. You know, they'd be having,
of course.
Vietnam
was ridiculous. Brothers and sisters came back from Vietnam.
Post-traumatic syndrome, they call it.
Yeah. So I feel for them.
I mean, I just thought it was a travesty. And, you know, I'm just saying I say because, I mean, it was right here in Georgia, Savannah, Colorado. And it was just painful to see that our beautiful young black children, you know, getting savaged, murdered. Because the other people, they trying to, you know, they doing whatever they doing to try to work with what's going on in over there in the East, in Gaza. And so I think, you know, and the U.S. is just in cahoots, like we've always been saying, with Netanyahu. Joining, doing this genocide against the people. And it's affecting the black Palestinians, it's affecting our African children over here that's going over there getting killed behind it. So it's just an abomination with it. And I want the children to like I said, follow Muhammad Ali's call.
Muhammad Ali was demanding the ceasefire. He was being drafted right now.
Oh, I thought he was a conscientious objector. No.
He was being drafted. And because he was being drafted in the armed services, he took conscientious objector status to not be drafted. And so, therefore, him, with the visibility that he had, the United States had to challenge him, had to take him to court, strip him of his title and all kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, the Supreme Court said, yes, his conscientious objector status is real. He does not have to go into the armed services. So he won.
I hear what you said. Right, 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 right. Yeah, but I'm saying be a conscientious objector, and even if you ain't being deaf, be a conscientious objector, not go over there.
Right.
Because you know, consciously going, you consciously but unconsciously, you know, being a part of the system going over there. So.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so I'll just say.
Okay.
It's just an abomination. Act like they're trying to escalate it into a World War III, because Biden's up here threatening, saying he's going to do something about it, and they're going to strike Iran.
Well, let me just say this.
Iran didn't even have nothing to do with it. They can't prove Iran did it.
I don't know about all of that, but let me just say this. With the armament that the world has, with the armament that everybody has in the world, if China, India, Russia, United States, even South Africa, and of course Israel, they all have nuclear weapons. And if one perceives that there's an advantage or disadvantage to them, they may let them start flying. And once they start flying, we all done. And of course, yeah, Caucasians is constantly.
They reach the United States. They up here like they so big about this. They got they could have all those bombs and everything headed toward the United States too.
That's what I'm saying. So,
yeah.
They always making movies of some dystopian kind of thing from way back when to the present day. You know how they look and everything's all messed up and everything. You know. I hate it, but that's the mindset.
Biden, he's still talking big, bad, threatening.
And it could happen.
And then they trying to put us on the front line about it.
Yeah, well.
So, and then all the Republicans are saying that they want to go and strike hard against Iran. So.
Well, also too, then you have those who want to secede within the United States.
Still going on, too, like we talked about. You're right, right.
So there's a lot of stuff, right, in Texas and other and some other states who want to join Texas in secession. So, yeah, it's deep.
Yeah.
All right, Mama.
All right, well, right, Sister Bia.
Be before the A, my dear. Our victorious destiny.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Brother Jay, how you doing?
No, brother. The question is, how are you doing, my brother?
I am doing well, man. I'm doing well. I haven't talked to my sister, but I plan to do it today to find out what kind of arrangements are going to be made. I did see some stuff online, and some good pictures. Some good pictures, man. I tell you, that brother was a good man. He was a good husband, a good father. He was a good man. And unfortunately, that happens. That happens to good people as well. He got cancer and he became very aggressive over time. And there was nothing that he could do to stop it spread.
So. Yeah, bro. That's how cancer is, man. It's a vicious disease, a disease that could be cured, but because of the money that's involved, the white man won't cure it.
Well,
you know what
I mean? That's the thing. I mean, for many of these diseases, the American medical system and the pharmaceutical companies don't offer a cure. They offer treatment. They want you on that medication for you to be treated damn near for the rest of your life at the time that you start. They're not after cures. They've been putting money up.
It's about capitalism.
Yeah.
It's not about, curing people. I mean, take into consideration, there's this sister that has a situation where she could address and deal with certain cancers, but she doesn't want to give it to the pharmaceuticals, and she's been for years trying to raise money. And I wonder why the so-called black elite don't come together and give her the money and structure a deal to whereas they could get their money back, and not put it in the hands of those who are not going to do anything but bleed it dry.
We don't invest in ourselves. What's her situation?
She has a cure or something to deal with cancer, and she just doesn't want to give it to the pharmaceutical people. So she's been trying to raise the money to be able to do the trials and the necessary thing. And she's been able to raise some money. I mean, you know, foundations and things of that nature have given them money. But, you know, I'm wondering why the so-called black elite, those with the money, just don't put it together to let her do the work. And, I mean, they could. I don't think she's trying to raise a figure to where as they can't, you know, put it together. And, you know, you could structure it to where they could get their money back, you know, if certain things happen. But, I mean, we don't think on that level. We're not really into investing in ourselves. We want to invest in the cracker thing. It was just like I was hearing this young ex-NBA player talking about what NBA players need to do is they need to set up a hedge fund. And if you think about it, with the type of money that they have, they could set up a hedge fund. You know, there's a lot of things collectively, if we work together, we could do. But, you know, we don't have that type of mindset. And to be honest, we're controlled by Urugu.
Yep.
So when Urugu control you, then, you know, that's what you do. That's why, you know, I like sports, but I'm not into it like I used to be, other than, you know, betting on it. Other than that, you know, like the Super Bowl. How do you take a white woman and make a white woman into such a big political issue because all she's doing is going to a game to watch her trick? I mean, it's mind-boggling, bro.
No, because of her popularity. She has been deemed one of the most popular people on the planet. On the planet. The worry,
you know,
Jay,
you know,
Jay, hold on. The worry is that she's already asked from the last election, told people to register and vote. She didn't say who to vote for. The worry is that she'll put that behind Biden. You know, she'll go on and at her concerts or whatever she's doing at the Super Bowl or whatever, and say vote for Joe Biden. You know, and
but
of course,
but shouldn't you, if you have that type of popularity and you believe in so-called democracy, which I think is BS, aren't you as a conscious or so-called conscious citizen? That's what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can't even get the Negro to come together collectively and do these type of necessary things if they feel it's of such important and significant. So whereby you have this white woman, and she has that position to move forward democracy, then that's what she should do. And you know, the funny thing is, her parents are staunch supporters of Fredo. They back in Fredo. Yeah. They serious, from what I understand, evangelistic sickos. You know, they on a whole nother spectrum than what she is. I mean, they're right wingers to right wingers, from what I understand.
I tell you though, Jay, you know, Jay, follow me here on this, okay, brother?
Huh?
Jay, follow me.
I want to talk about Carter G. Woodson and the great legacy that he left us with the Miseducation of the Negro. That was one of the first books that I ever read, man.
Great book.
It's beyond a great book. It was a book that showed all of the possibilities that we could and should be in our development if we did not allow Yorugu to influence us and follow after his whims.
Yeah.
So it would be amazing if you think about it. If during that early civil rights movement, if everybody was forced to read The Miseducation of the Negro, I think it would been a little bit different, bro.
Yeah, well, the thing is this. He was telling us to do for ourselves like many of our leaders told us. You know, Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, many of those people. But because of the mindset of some people, the NAACP, the Urban League, later on other organizations, they believe that working with Caucasians, being able to sit at the table, having a seat at the table with Caucasians in their deliberations of how things are going to be done was the thing that we could influence some decisions and so forth, you know. And then we just
how did that work out for you?
Huh?
How did that work out for us?
How did that work? Exactly. How did that work
out
for us?
You know, because the reality is, what is that story they talk about? The Scorpio and the Turtle? Where the turtle tries to take the scorpion across the river, and the turtle knows that the scorpion is gonna
sting him
and the scorpion convinces him that he's not gonna sting him, and then when he gets over
on the other side,
he sting him.
Right.
That's the relationship between black
exactly. You knew I was
white.
You knew I was a scorpion. Yeah.
I mean, you can't. Yeah. You know, it's mind-boggling when you know you hear people talk about how Harriet Tubman's brothers, you know, she tried to free him, and they went back to the slave master. There's more to that than meets the eye. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have been trained to do those things, just like these three individuals that died over in Iraq,
Jordan, or wherever it was. Right.
They not necessarily wanted to go into the service, but maybe circumstances was the reason why they went into service.
Well, that's what I. That's right. That's what. That's what I told. That's what I told Sister Habia. A lot of times, that cliche or that saying back about 30 years ago: "Be all you can be."
Right.
Be all you can not be in the society, but be all you can be in the military service. You know, but the consequences of being in a military service is that you will be put in harm's way, and you have to defend the United States. The military service is the military arm of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy.
Yes. And you are totally brainwashed from the time that you get in there until the time that you, I guess, leave and are able to reprogram yourself. Because I have some family members who are military people, done 20 years, and get out. And I can never have a conversation with them because they basically brainwashed into Americanism. And, you know, anytime you can sit down and justify what happened or try to justify what happened to George Floyd, then I know you're a sick Negro, and I'm either going to toy with you, beat you up, or I'm going to ignore you. And depending on the circumstances and the mood I'm in, I'm going to pick one of those three. But it's absolutely amazing to see how, over a period of time, the United States military is able to do a number on the Negro. And let me say this. That same type of brainwashing that happened to these military personnel is the type of brainwash that was done to Harriet Tubman's brothers. That's all.
Yeah.
You brainwash. Yeah. The white man from our enslavement was a master manipulator of the behavior of the Negro. A master at it. He figured it out. He knew how to get the Negro to, I'm sorry to say it, to do things that were not humanly possible, should never have been humanly possible, and got them to accept it.
See, the thing is this. He got us to do things for him that we would not do for ourselves, and discouraged for doing for ourselves. And if we try to do it for ourselves, we'd be punished or even killed. For the fear was there. So, you know, I only got a couple more minutes, Jay. And
well, Oshi, let me just say this to you in closing. Hang in there.
Thank you,
your ancestors for giving you someone like your brother.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be hearing from you next week that you'll be going to Milwaukee to honor him. But lastly, if the Eric Caney Genie's going to be on Friday, is he going to be on from 11 to the closing of the show?
Yes, he is.
So you're not going to go to your 45 minutes of nonsense?
That's not nonsense, and it ain't 45 minutes either. It's damn near a half hour, though.
Yeah, I just wanted to,
No, the only thing
you know I got to tune in from 11 on Friday. Hotep, brother.
Hotep, dear brother. Peace. Yeah. Yeah, family. The brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie, will be my guest. And, of course, his book, Jews Are the Problem. We'll be talking about that. And of course, man. Excuse me. So, family, I hope everything is well for you today. I hope you have a good day today. And we're going to end this program like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. Maybe I should end it with the words of Carter G. Woodson. Yeah. Yeah, the words of Carter G. Woodson, family. That's how we're going to end the program today. Yeah. Because in my favorite quote of Carter G. Woodson, if a culture or a people have no history, if it has no worthwhile traditions, it becomes a negligible factor in the thought of the world, and it stands in danger of being exterminated. Carter G. Woodson. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahordie. Bibi Fahordie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a nice day, and I hope to see you. Tell others about Friday. It should be a great presentation, so tell others about Friday, family. And I'll see you on Friday. Peace.